So if you've got a Bible today, we are going to head to the book of Proverbs. I want to look at two specifically, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Do encourage you to turn there or flip there on your phone if you read your phone, your Bible on your phone. We are in the middle of a message series called Riddles of the Wise. We've been spending the summer in the book of Proverbs, which really is a fantastic book if you dive into it. Most of it was written by King Solomon, who served as the king of Israel following his father David. There's a scenario in the Old Testament in which God appears to Solomon and says, Solomon, I will give you whatever you want if you ask for it. And Solomon asks for wisdom. God gives him great wisdom. So much wisdom, in fact, that people come from all over the world to hear and sit at his feet. And we get many of the Proverbs from this wisdom that God, we believe God gave to Solomon. A proverb is a short statement that is generally considered to be true, filled with information for practical everyday living. And once again, today, this morning, we're going to get very, very practical. Most of us have heard the phrase, if not all of us, midlife crisis. We hit a certain age, usually 40s or 50s, and we go through an emotional and an identity crisis. The stereotype for people in midlife crisis is that they buy a sports car, change the way they dress to look younger, maybe even have an affair. And while there is evidence to suggest that many of those trends are true and rising for a lot of people, it just doesn't go down like that. I'm at midlife right now, and I'm more happy and content than I've ever been. I don't want a sports car. However, I will take a Chevy Traverse if you have one. My crisis actually happened much earlier, my 30th birthday. For some unknown psychological reason, my 30th birthday triggered something, and I went into a depressive funk for about a week. Maybe I thought it was because my youth had died. I don't know. And then I got over it, and that was the end of it for me. Midlife crisis is a culturally influenced phenomenon, really, because we worship youth. And as we get older, we tend to think back to the good old days, whenever the good old days were, you know, the best days of our life. Reminds me of a song you may have heard. If you know it, you can sing it. If you don't, just stare at me awkwardly. You know it? Wait for it. And if I had the choice, yeah, those won't all be there. Those were the best days of my life. See, some of you know what the best... Remember the summer of 69? I don't, because I was negative six. But the song is a man's reflection on his past. The best days of his life that are gone. His high school years, the years of young love, garage bands, and freedom. Many people look back and say, those were the best days of my life. Back in high school when I was those were the best days of my life. Or in college or in my 20s when I was single and free, those were the best days of my life. That phrase actually sounds like a surrender to a hopeless future, as if life is now just a downward slide to the grave as we get older. The best days of our life are gone. And as a result, there's a word that has emerged, though it's not a real word, we use it all the time, that describes how much we loathe getting older and having responsibility. It is the word adulting. Many people say, I don't feel like adulting today. In other words, I don't feel like having responsibility. As if being older and having responsibility, being adult, is actually a bad thing. So I wonder, is it possible to say that these days that I'm living in right now are actually the best days of my life? When I was in college, I was afraid to graduate because I thought, now I have to To be responsible, I have to enter the real world. The good days are gone, but what I discovered was the best days of my life are right now. See, aging is a funny thing. So when I was young, I could not wait to get older and have more freedom. And now that I'm older, I just kind of want time to slow down. And the older we get, the bar seems to get higher as to what old age actually is. Because when I was 16, 30 was old. And when I was 30, 50 was old. But now in my 40s, like I think old is like 104. Because the bar keeps getting higher. So what is God's plan as we age? Because we're all aging. So where is God's plan in all this aging stuff? I wonder if we could get to the point, the place where we say every season, every age is the best day of my life. To do that, we've got to get past a culturally distorted view of aging. I believe our faith offers a better way to look at aging in a culture that worships at the fountain of youth. I think it's time to get past the stereotypes and embrace what the scriptures have to say. Because the Bible has a bunch of things to say about aging, especially the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, the author has this to say. The glory of young men is in their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. In this passage, the writer is addressing all generations. First, he begins with those who are younger. Typically, when you're younger, your body is firmer and stronger, although not always, but most of the time. When I was 16, my body was very different than it is right now. When I was 16, I wrestled in high school. I had lean muscle. I had a six-pack abs. Now I just buy bigger shirts because that's just kind of what happens. But as I'm getting older, I've noticed as I look in the mirror, there's more gray hair. My beard that used to come in like brownish red, all the red is now white if I let it go out. But that's okay because to me, those are trophies of wisdom, of a life well lived. The writer continues in Proverbs chapter 16, for gray hair is a crown of splendor or a crown of glory. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Every season of our life is a gift. Every day of our life is a gift. Understanding aging, I think, is an important part of our spiritual journey. And it begins here. When you understand that aging is actually a part of God's intentional design. Living forever on this earth was never a part of God's plan. If you turn all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Adam and Eve have eaten the forbidden fruit. They have sinned. They have fallen short of God's standard. And God says, the man has now become like one of us, knowing the difference between good and evil. He must not also be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever. In other words, it was never part of God's plan to live forever on this earth as it is. So if aging is a part of God's design, why do so many of us shun it? Why are so many afraid of it? I've been told that it is impolite to ever ask a woman her age. And I say, why? What are we so ashamed of? So I ask women their age all the time because I want to fight the stereotype. Why are we so embarrassed? We're embarrassed because today we worship at the altar of young, firm bodies. And we have this allergic reaction to getting older. For many, getting older seems like a curse. Some even say it's a part of the curse. Although if that's true, what do we do with Genesis chapter 3, verse 22? And so as a result, we do all kinds of things to fight aging. By the year 2021, anti-wrinkling cream will be a $4.2 billion industry. And right now, some of the biggest users of Botox are those in their 20s who are trying to prevent aging in the first place. Some people think growing old means becoming irrelevant at best and a problem at worst. Some view aging as a sad human fate to be avoided at all costs. And yet, one of the things we all have in common is every single one of us in this room are getting older. It is part of the human experience. And if you're younger and you make fun of the older, just wait. Because you just got older. We only have one life cycle. So how can we arrange our environment and our attitudes to embrace aging as a gift with grace? I love what the writer and psychologist from the late 1800s, Florida Peer Scott Maxwell, wrote. She said, "Age puzzles me. I thought it was a quiet time. My 70s were interesting, fairly serene, but my 80s are passionate. I grow more intense as I age. And to my own surprise, I burst out with hot conviction. My prayer is that when I'm in my 80s, I burn with hot conviction." Now, some in our culture are catching on. The beauty magazine Allure made a splash a couple summers ago when it announced it would ban the term anti-aging from its pages. The editor-in-chief said this, "The phrase anti-aging subtly reinforces the message that growing older is a condition we need to battle. Growing older is a wonderful thing because it means we get a chance every day to live a full, happy life." So how can we live a full, happy life as we age? As I searched the scriptures this week, I found there are three factors. There are three things that keep us alive and vibrant in every stage of our life. Those three factors are hope, humor, and vision. I want to begin with hope. It's the challenge to live with hope every single day. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18, the writer has this to say, "There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." As followers of Christ, we find that place of hope in God. And so where is that intentional place, that intentional time in which you are cultivating hope in your life? Jesus is our model in this. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16, Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to quiet places, to the wilderness, to pray. The reason Jesus went off to the wilderness to pray was to spend time with his Father and cultivate hope. Where is that place that you cultivate hope? For me, I go on walks almost every single day. And as I walk, I love to walk outside in nature. It's my cathedral. And as I walk, I pray. It's the place where I find hope. For you, maybe it's a special place in your house. Maybe you like to garden. Maybe as you're gardening and you're in the soil, you feel in touch with God. Where is that place where you intentionally meet with God and cultivate hope? We cultivate hope when we intentionally spend time with God. We also cultivate hope when we choose to speak with life. I love what the writer of the book of Psalms says. Psalm 91, verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, I will speak, I will verbalize. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." I am convinced that the way that you speak affects the way that you age exponentially. I was at a grocery store a few weeks ago, and I was walking through one of the departments, and the department manager was coming one way and I was coming the other way. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Terrible," and just keeps walking. I'm like, wow, that guy is embracing life. No, life isn't perfect, but if you're willing to say to a perfect stranger, things are terrible, what's going on? What is it that comes out of our mouth? Is it life or is it death? When you sit around your kitchen table at home, do you speak life or do you speak death? When you go out with your friends to the restaurant or the coffee shop and you're sitting around a table with your buddies, do you speak life or do you speak death? What are your conversations? What's coming? Because out of the abundance of our heart flows our words. You want to live with hope? Create an intentional time with God, speak life, and always be grateful. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Last week, when we talked about planning, purpose, and God's will, I'm going to share a little bit of God's will for your life. It's always God's will that you give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks for your life. Do you realize that there are some people that don't get to live to the age you are right now? Give thanks for this wonderful life we've been given. It's easy to find stuff to complain about. This world is not perfect, but it's also equally as easy to find stuff to be grateful for. Live with hope, but also live with humor. Don't lose your humor. Psalm 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. I'm going to prescribe you some medicine this morning. Laugh a little bit. When you lose your ability to laugh, you start to lose. Laughter keeps us feeling good. Laughter uplifts our soul. I find humor in the most common everyday things. Last week on Monday, I was super stressed out about something. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I was so stressed out. I got up Monday morning and I was just pacing my house because I'm a pacer. Anybody else pace when you get stressed? I pace. I mean, I pace back and forth. My house has a perfect pacing route. I can go from my kitchen to my dining room, up a hallway to my living room, back to my kitchen in like a circle. So Monday morning, I am pacing my house in a circle for like 15, 20 minutes. And whenever I would hit the hardwood floor, I'd hear this click, 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 click. What the heck? I turn around, there's my dog. And he's following me. As I'm pacing, he's pacing with me. And I'm walking, and I would stop and look behind me, and he'd stop. And then I keep walking a little bit, and I'd stop, and he'd stop right there about a foot away from me. And he just kept following me around the house. And after a while, I just couldn't take it anymore. I just started laughing because I found it to be so funny that this dog was sharing in my manic panic. And just, I'm like, Tyler, and I just started laughing. And I felt better. It was medicine for my soul. Don't lose your ability to laugh. And finally, have vision for your life. Have vision for every season of your life. The writer of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 in the King James Version of the Bible says this: where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you lose your sense of vision, you begin to perish. So have a vision for every stage of your life. My dad is one of my heroes. And my dad is a guy who embraces this fully. My dad has had a vision for every stage of his life. I've never seen a man live more fully than my dad. My dad, when he worked, he was in international business. He traveled all over the world. And one of the places he traveled often, which was also one of his least favorite places to travel, was India. There was just something about India. He just didn't set with him. But he ended up going there 42 times for his job. And so Dad, I said, like, he doesn't like Indian food. He just is hot. And I said, so you went there so many times. What did you do? Why, how did you survive while you were there? He said, I golfed. I'm like, in India? Yep. He said, it'd be 109 degrees. I grab a couple of coworkers to go golf with me. They couldn't say no because I'm the boss. And we went out. It was 109 and we golfed 18 holes and it kept me sane because he embraced every season of his life. And now that he's retired, though he does still golf about four times a week, he also helps homeschool my niece. He serves on the board for his local chapter of Habitat for Humanity. And he drives those who are elderly and can't drive to their doctor appointments and takes them grocery shopping. He's living every season of his life with vision. He has not stopped. There's another guy that I know that I also admire who also lives this way. He lives with hope. He lives with humor. And he lives with vision. He's a friend of mine. He actually is a part of our church. His name is Greg. And I'm going to ask Greg to come join me on the stage. Many of you know Greg Lohr. If you don't, you will. I've asked Greg to come up and join me. And I'm going to give you this mic again. Behave.
How's it going?
This is my buddy Greg. Greg is 75 years old.
Thanks.
And I was going to ask you anyway.
Okay, I was going to lie. How come I don't have one of those?
You don't get one of these. Okay. I've actually cultivated a friendship with Greg. Greg and I have hung out and we've done lunch. And so I asked Greg to come because Greg actually encapsulates with his life because I see him because he's like, you're here all the time. We actually have to get security to escort him off the property sometimes. But I watch Greg live his life, and Greg, I think you live with hope. So how do you do it? How do you live with hope every season of your life?
I would say I just hope to continue to grow in knowing God and continue to serve Him. And I hope that I would follow through on that. And I hope that I've been a good role model to my children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
I think that's when I think of hope, I think of that.
Well, everyone here that knows you haven't lost your sense of humor.
No.
So how do you keep it? I was going to tell you a story. So Greg, this makes me laugh every time I tell it. So Greg, 75 years old, loves to shop at the Buckle. Do you guys know what the Buckle is? The Buckle is a store in the mall, typically solicited by people who are in their 20s. Greg loves to shop there. He comes in with all these cool shirts, and I'll say, Greg, where'd you get that shirt? He goes, the Buckle. So one day we decided we should have matching shirts from the Buckle. So Greg and I went out to lunch. We went to the Buckle, and we walk into this store. And this poor sales lady didn't know what to do with us because we're trying to buy matching shirts. And there's a whole lot more to that story that I can't tell you because we're in church. But how do you keep your sense of humor?
I don't know. It's a gift, but I cultivated it. I like to make people laugh. I like to be around people that make me laugh, people with good sense of humor. And, there's a lighter side of life. I like to look at the lighter side. Mm-hmm. It's still there. You got to look a little harder for it, but it's there. You can make good out of it. And I'm able to laugh at myself. Mm-hmm. And I find that I wasn't always that way. And now I can, and it makes you, it's a good balance.
Yeah. And Greg, I know that you live with vision for your life. You've not stopped. Greg is always, if you've never seen, Greg's out on the lawnmowers here all the time. Greg also, in his own words, drives old people to their doctor appointments. So how do you live with vision, Greg?
Well, actually, as I look at my life right now, where I am in life, I guess I'm kind of on the lookout for a good used coffin. No, vision for me is just to continue to enjoy my life and continue to serve God, as I mentioned, continue to serve God, just to be enjoy my retirement life, which is very enjoyable, and just being active and just being glad that I have my health and that I am where I am in this world, that I have this wonderful church, these wonderful lot of friends and people like you in my life that just really, mean a lot to me. And I got a great wife, great family. It's just, I sometimes just ask God, why me? I certainly don't deserve it. And, so that, I guess that's about it.
And you do keep yourself busy. What you might not know is Greg actually made that cross. It was one of his contributions in Northbrook. He's pretty handy. So, Greg, yeah. I told people this last night, and I really mean this with all my heart, if you hear me. My hope for myself was as I age, that I would become a combination of two people. My dad and this guy. Because this guy lives what we're talking about today. So, Greg, thanks for being up here. Thanks for the tears. Glad you're here. Love you, buddy.
You're not going to tell that story?
Thanks for not swearing.
You're not going to finish the story?
There's no more. We're not. We're in church. Oh, go put that microphone away. Mute him. See, I'm convinced that we need to restore the broken connection that exists between the generations. One of the guiding values that we have as a church is that generations need each other, and I believe that. So if you're older, I hope that you have younger friends. And if you're younger, I hope you have friends that are older, because it keeps us centered. I did some research some time back, and I wish I had it with me so I could quote you the source. But the research stated that one of the key factors that keeps younger people in church and in their faith after they graduate from high school is that they had a significant relationship with someone who was older than them that is not a part of their family. And unfortunately, there are often problems that brew among the generations. Right now in this room, there are represented roughly 8 or 9 different generations as I look around. We can go as far back as a generation called the Greatest Generation, those that were born between 1910 and 1924, that would put someone in their 90s right now. Then there was the silent generation, those that grew up between 1920, that were born between 1925 and 1945. Then there were the boomers, those born 46 to 64. Then there was Gen X, those born 65 to 79. The millennials, who were born 1980 to 1994. Generation I, Y, or Generation Y, or whatever we're calling the generation after that, those born 1995 to 2012. And then the generations that are coming up between them, like this young man we just dedicated this morning. And we're all together in this room. Now, I represent Generation X, and there's all different stereotypes that come with that. My generation is known for being against the man, anti-institutional. My generation was labeled as being depressed and listening to Pearl Jam all the time. That was my generation. And all these generations look down upon each other, talk bad about each other, and create stereotypes about each other. The older look down on the younger and say, those crazy kids with their haircuts and their clothes and their music. And we've been saying that forever. The silent generation said that about the boomers when they started listening to the Beatles. My dad regularly tells me there is no good music written after 1970, which also happened to be the year the Beatles broke up. And one day, my dad caught me listening to a remake of All Along the Watchtower that was made by the Dave Matthews Band. And he said it was anathema because it wasn't like the Jimi Hendrix version, which wasn't even the original version because Bob Dylan wrote the song. Do you realize that in 1741, Handel's Messiah was banned by the church because it was too radical? That George Frederick Handel, he was such a wild kid. We develop all these generational stereotypes. Younger people look at older people and say, well, they're just too stubborn. They're stuck in their ways. They're not open to new things. And older people look at younger people and say they're lazy and won't listen and they're entitled. We all know stereotypes aren't endearing. When you stereotype someone, you're making a broad statement about a group of people that's generally not true. Like, I'm half Italian, I'm half Irish, my mom's Irish, my dad's Italian. And people joke all the time and say, you know, Italians are all loud and greasy and the Irish are a bunch of drunks. So I'm a loud, greasy drunk. Although the truth is, I take a bath every day, so I'm not greasy. I can get a little bit loud. And I've only been drunk one time in my entire life, and that was a long time ago. So the stereotype really doesn't fit. I think for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the church, and for the sake of the kingdom of God, we need to embrace our differences because that's what they are. They're differences. For most parts, the difference between the generation are not bad. They're just different, and they always tend to revolve around preferences. So what do? I would suggest this. We need to honor those who are older and show respect to those who are younger. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 tells us to honor those who are older. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God, for I am the Lord. When you look at those who are older than you, I challenge you to see wisdom and not an aging body. I challenge you to learn from their lives. It is why the writer of Proverbs calls gray hair a crown of glory, because it is the representation of a life well lived. Listen to their stories. 13 years ago, I was living in a different state, and I met an older gentleman. His name was Gale. He was in his 80s. And Gale, one afternoon, invited me to go with him for coffee. So we went to a Starbucks on a Tuesday morning that was in a grocery store, because that was all there was. And I sat with Gale. It was a one-time thing. We were going to just have coffee together. And he said, how about next Tuesday? I said, okay. How about next Tuesday? Okay, we do it again. How about next Tuesday? Okay. How about if I invite a friend? Okay. Then Oren showed up. Oren was also in his 80s. That one time turned into a few months, and then they said, hey, let's invite another guy. So then Marty showed up. And so what was supposed to be a one-time thing turned into a 3-year experience of every Tuesday meeting Marty, Oren and Gail for coffee at the Starbucks in the Safeway grocery store. And we talked about all kinds of things. And I always came late because I knew if I came 10 minutes late, they'd buy my coffee. So I always went late. And we talk about life, and these guys, they were all in the military. They were in what they called the Army Air Force, which I didn't know what it was, but it was the Air Force before there was the Air Force. And they would talk about life when they were younger. And my friend Gail, when found out Rebecca was pregnant with our first kid, he said to me, you know, when our first child was born, I took my wife to the hospital. I dropped her off. I told my wife to call me when it was over, and I went home and watched the ball game. I'm like, Gail, I don't think that would work right now, but okay. I learned about all their ailments, and he would tell me that his limo came to pick him up again that week. He always called the ambulance his limo because it would come. He had some breathing problems. But I also learned from him honor. I learned from them integrity. I learned from them loyalty. I learned from them how to have a marriage that lasts a lifetime. I did some of their funerals. I did Oren's funeral when Oren passed away. So many memories from those moments. If you're younger and you don't have an older friend or two, you are missing out on the richness of life. They may have different opinions than you, but that's okay. They're from a different generation than you. And when we meet with our older friends, let's not make qualifiers. You ever looked at someone who was older than you, maybe a woman, and you said, wow, she looks really good for her age? Why do we have to add a qualifier? Why can't we just say, wow, you look really, really good? And for those of us that are older, can we not respect those who are younger? They're from a different generation than us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to a younger man, and he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. So for those of us that are older, what if we chose to encourage instead of immediately judge? Just because some of their ways are different doesn't make them wrong. If you're older, you have a lot to offer the younger because you've been through what many of them are going through. So what if we chose to invest instead of criticize? What if we listened more than we corrected? Whenever people that are younger than us share with us opinions or ideas that we consider weird or wrong, what if instead of correcting, what if we just said, hey, why don't you tell me more about that? Because my daughter's 15, and sometimes she's from a different generation than me, and she'll say stuff, and I'm like, what are you talking about? But what if instead of saying that, we said, well, tell me more about that. Help me understand that. Because if you're older and you don't have younger people in your life, I think you're missing out on some richness that would be indescribable. So I want to wrap up our morning with a video. It's actually a video made by AARP. It's fantastic, though. So I want you to look at it. And then when it's done, I'm going to come out and pray. So if we could do that, guys.
Hey, how's it going? You can stand right there. That's your mark. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Awesome. Just tell us your first name and your age.
My real age?
My name is Paolo. I'm 25 years old.
My name is Daniela, and I'm 19.
24. 35.
31. 33.
I'm 26 years old.
What age do you consider to be old?
Late 40s.
Maybe 50.
I feel like 30 is a new 20, so I'd say like 40 is old.
I'd probably say 50s.
I'd like you to show me how an old person would cross the street. Show me how an old person would send a text message. Person do a push-up. What about jumping jacks? Okay, hang on. There's someone I want you to meet.
Hello, I'm Birch. I'm 66.
Hi, I'm Daphne, and I'm 68.
I'm Dee, and I'm 55.
George Fassbinder, 75.
Wow. My name is Parvati. I'm 70.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We're going to give you about 2 minutes to teach each other something that you are good at.
I can teach you a jump that I do.
Okay, please.
Both of your legs go up, mm-hmm. and your arm goes up, and your left arm goes like to the side. Ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Lift 1, 2, 3. And bring it to your heart. And bring it to your heart. Add the head in. Yeah.
You want to try to get your balance.
And raise up.
Now, bring your legs and your feet up.
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. So when you come out of a turn, either way, you go back to that basics.
Over. Now forward. Over. Yeah.
Squirt like this. And give me a hook. Hook. Jab, cross. Hook. And then we'll go like this, all right?
1, 2, 3.
Now, what age might you consider to be old?
Probably 80 or 90.
He could just do everything that I told him to do.
An age that I would consider to be old now might be 100.
Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I said in the 50s, I thought that would be old. But when I thought about it,
Wait a minute. Can I do it? It really changed my thinking of what old is.
You've taught me something today. Clearly, there's no way she's old, you know?
Now I know from today, hey, I don't look at age.
At my age, I feel like I did when I was in my 20s.
There's so many things that I still want to do. There's so many things that I can do. As long as I'm growing and learning, then age doesn't matter.
When people start stopping, that's when they start getting old.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Daphne.
Thank you. It was great meeting you.
How long have you been doing this? Is this a new skill?
40 years.
Wow.
So gracious God, I'm thankful for all the generations that are represented in this room. We all need each other. God, I know that I believe that aging is part of our spiritual journey. Aging is a human thing and it's also a spiritual thing. And so would you help us to embrace the differences? Would you help us to learn from one another? That we could look beyond the petty preferences and invest in one another. This life is a gift. And would you help us to live it to the full in every season we find ourselves in? In the great name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. As we wrap up, do want to encourage you now to reach into your worship folder and grab your connection card that is there. We've got a couple of next steps on the back side. First of all, I want to encourage you maybe to spend some time with the scriptures we referenced today. They're all listed in your service outline. I encourage you to get that list, open up your Bible, and spend some time there this week. Also want to encourage you as a next step to maybe rearrange your thinking so that you can honor those who are older than you and respect those that are younger than you. Maybe that means finding some people that are younger than you and investing in them, or finding some people that are older than you and learning from them, sharing wisdom and knowledge with each other. Challenge all of us to make that a next step this week. So take a second, fill out your connection card, make it an act of worship, and we'll collect those in just a moment. Now, oh God, we do continue in our worship by receiving our offering. Thank you for the incredible generosity of the people of this church. Thanks for all those that have given online this week. Pray you bless them. And as we give as the baskets are passed, would you use these resources to further your good work in our world? Amen. Before you leave this morning, again, if you'd like someone to pray with you, just want to remind you, off to my left, your right, there'll be some folks over there that would love to pray over any needs that you have. So go now in God's grace and peace, and may you live every season of your life to the full. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week.